This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Today I'm going to be chatting with Scott from Chuckles Garage and catching up with him on Old Smokey, some racing records he just sent, and then also talking with him about his daily driver, which is kind of it's the ultimate, you know, kind of daily driver tow rig build. So I'm definitely looking forward to chatting with him today. Before we get to it, I want to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors to help make the Diesel Podcast possible. The first is Target Sports USA. If you're anything like me, you've got some hobbies that go outside of diesel trucks a little bit, whether that's hitting the range, hunting, competitions, things like that. Target Sports USA has a complete lineup of products, and they have a really unique membership program. It's $99 a year, and in that you get free shipping on any order, whether it's one box or 20 boxes, 50 boxes. Plus you get an instant 8% discount, which is really great to be able to save some money. And there's a few times a year that that discount does go deeper. If there's a particular product that you're having trouble finding locally, they also have in-stock notifications and inventory deliveries that they'll notify you of first. Plus, there's two giveaways that you get entered into when. The first is an all-expense-paid hunting trip to Colorado, so that includes airfare, accommodations, licensing, and also complimentary meat processing and shipping back to you. So it's once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you're automatically entered into win that. Also, they give away an F-150 every year, which is really cool if you want to keep some miles off your diesel truck, going point A to point B, or use it to go in the outdoors. That's something you're also entered to win as well. Just go to targetsportsusa.com/dieselpc and you'll find all the details there. Also, Kershaw Knives, they've got a discount code for you. You get 40% off MSRP. Use code 2024DIESEL40 at kershaw.kaiusa.com. It's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear if you're in the market for a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC, something around the job site. They've got a ton of different choices for different opening mechanisms, blade steel, blade shape, handle designs. So if you're in the market, definitely make sure and head on over to their website. Use code 2024DIESEL40 for 40% off MSRP. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Scott. Scott, welcome back to the Diesel Podcast. It's been a quick minute since we chatted last. I think it was you and Aaron were at Pike's Peak, and I got to chat with you guys on an episode about the race. And so much has happened since then. I look forward to catching up with you, seeing some cool things you're doing out there, some records you've been setting. So welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a couple years. I think 2021.
Yeah.
22 was the last time I was on.
Yeah, it was a really fun episode. And gosh, I know that there's so much you do in diesel and in racing. I just kind of wanted to turn over like the start of the podcast to you to update us on what you've been doing the past couple of years.
Oh, well, so, I mean, everybody knows last year didn't fare so well for me at Pike's Peak. Ended up putting Smokey on the bottom of a 14,000 foot mountain. We have other things planned for that truck later on in life, but diesel stuff I'm doing right now. So I've got our new tow rig project we're building. It's kind of like the dream tow rig. It's a 2004 Ram 3500 dually, and it's about the cleanest thing you've ever seen. It's got almost 450,000 miles on it, but you wouldn't know that. And then for Pike's Peak, I've got the LMP1 car that's eco diesel powered for now.
Well, I remember seeing the videos of Pike's Peak and when you went off the road, and can you walk me through like what was going through your mind when that happened? Cause watching it, it was just like shocking. And then you see how far it is, and it was just a really kind of high emotional, you know, point. But what was going through your mind when that happened?
That's a corner up at the very top. It's two turns away from the finish line, and it's called Lightning Corner. I'm headed up this big climb. It's one of the longest straightaways on the track. And then you're hard left into Lightning Corner, and I'm, 120 miles an hour on the outside of the corner. I go to set the truck in on the brakes, and I tap the brakes, and there's nothing there. It went all the way to the floor. So then I think to myself, okay, well, I tried to hook my foot behind it, pull it up, and try to get some brake pressure out of it. Nothing happened. Tried that a couple times. You can actually hear it in the video because my pant leg is grabbing the gas pedal as I do it. So you can hear it go vroom, 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 kind of hold a little bit of RPM, which probably made it even worse for me in hindsight. So the only choice I had then was to try to make the corner with no brakes. And I didn't want to go off on the far side of the corner because it's even worse. So I chose to just try to turn into the mountain and scrub some speed. Well, that didn't work out either, because as soon as I hit the mountain, I had so much speed and energy, stored energy in the truck, that it just shot the truck up in the air and off the mountain. So kind of felt like a lose-lose situation. But I don't know. As I went off, I really didn't think of much. You know, I just I figured that was it. But it landed on its roof about 17 stories down, and then rolled 11 times and stopped. And miraculously, I didn't have a scratch on me. So
I think I remember the post that you had. You talked about the safety equipment that's built into that vehicle and how important that is. But when you were describing it to me, it seems like you have run, you know, through your mind, you have gone through different steps of, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. And if that doesn't work, this is what I'm going to do. So is that how you approach this type of racing, or even other types of racing, where you're playing through these scenarios in your head way before they ever happen? So when you get to that point, you've kind of been there before and you can go through step A, B, and C, and D.
Yeah. I mean, there's you have like less than a second to make a decision. And so my decision was to, I don't know why I did it, because once the brake pedal hits the floor, you're done. But you know, that's what I tried, and it didn't work. And then turning into the mountain was my only other choice. And so that kind of worked. I mean, it definitely slowed me down, but not in the way that I really wanted to. So, in that scenario, there's not a whole lot of win there. So you just kind of do what you can to mitigate your losses and your damage. But the biggest thing is safety. So Old Smokey's cage was very overbuilt. And it shows in the video, it didn't cave or bend or anything. You know, like I said, I didn't have a scratch on me, not a bruise, not a scratch, no concussion, nothing. And it's all due to the safety stuff. You know, the cage is the biggest thing. Seats and belts are another one. I had a Sawbelt full containment seat. It's called a GT pad, and it has different pads you can change out to really get you in the fitted perfect in the car, so you're not bouncing around. And that kept my head fine and my neck fine. You know, of course, a Hans device, you know, a lightweight carbon fiber Stilo helmet, like all that stuff. It all adds up. You know, you can shortcut all you want on safety stuff, but you're only hurting yourself in the end. So if you can afford it, buy the best you can afford for safety gear.
I've heard that from a lot of racers, and how they've invested in it, how important it is. Now, when you go out and race again, maybe it's something different, or it was something different with this other truck we're going to be talking about. Do you still keep that in the back of your mind, because that, you know, the brakes didn't work and it led to this event? Does that still play in other types of racing that you're doing, or is it just in the past, you've learned from it, moved on, and now you're going, you know, say for a land speed record or something else?
I've had brakes get hot before, but still work. I've never had brakes completely fail. So that's a new one for me. So now, of course, it's going to be in the back of my head, like the whole time I'm running Pikes Peaks this year. Cause you know, if you lose your brakes up there, you're in a world of hurt. And even when I have a 91 Toyota extra cab pickup. It's not a diesel. It's got a 1260 horsepower 2JZ in it. And I just set the half mile land speed record with that, you know. And even at the end of the track, I had questions like, are my brakes going to come in? You know, I got a little bit of PTSD from that.
Tell me a bit about that Toyota, because I remember seeing on Instagram when you were starting to build it and the process of it, and then seeing the record. I know you like to go fast, you like to win, and you know, speed is speed.
And yeah, whether it's a diesel or gas. I like to go fast.
Yeah.
This is Ricky Bobby version two over here.
What was that build like? Was it a different challenge for you? Was it, or is that a platform you're really familiar with and you knew exactly the direction you wanted to go, or how did that all unfold?
I mean, I don't think I'm not really familiar with the platform, like a 91 Toyota truck. So I had the same exact truck in college, and it was just a mini truck all slammed to the ground. So it's you don't really do much to it to make that happen. But we've got tons of familiarity with the 2JZ platform, so that was not a big deal. But the truck itself, we kind of stuck with a pretty simple recipe for that, tubular back half, stock chassis otherwise, stock pickup points on the front suspension, modified arms. We used a 6XD sequential transmission in it, which is gross overkill for land speed racing, but the more I can focus on driving and not like shifting an H pattern or anything like that, you can go faster. So probably going to add an air shifter to that, so it just automatically shifts. I don't know. It's a cool truck. You'd have to see it. It's in the old Ivan Iron Man Stewart livery that he ran his trophy trucks in, in the 80s and 90s. So it's got that kind of nostalgic feel to it. Plus, it's a 90s Toyota. I think those are the best small trucks ever made.
I was able to meet him once. It was really cool. It wasn't in any like professional capacity. It was just passing, in passing, and I recognized him, and I think he was driving a Tundra. And it was really cool because he was somebody I look forward to. And when I was growing up as a kid, he was the guy, right? So he was the
Right?
one.
Yeah, he's a legend. I'd love to talk him into taking the land speed truck out for a run at Bonneville when we're at Bonneville this year.
That'd be cool.
That'd be so cool.
There was something else I saw you had posted, and it really got me interested because it's that 04, that 3500 Cummins that you got. Because one, that's kind of my grail year range of Cummins, and then that red is my favorite color for a truck as well. So I was going through it, and I wanted to talk about more of that build. You did a great job of outlining it, but I thought it'd be great for our listeners to hear why that truck, why that one is your favorite or one of your favorites. And then, what helped it get to that mileage? Because it does look absolutely clean. I would not have guessed there's 450,000 plus miles on it.
Yeah, so the condition. So I bought it from my friend Sydney, and she took really good care of the truck. So that's all on her. So I get to be the caretaker of it now. And when I got it, it probably had, 5,000 less miles than it has on it now. So I haven't run the miles up on it. But to me, like the third gen is like the sweet spot for the trucks, because it still has the 5.9 Cummins. And the earlier one, the 2004, has the NV5600, which is the best manual six speed those things ever came with. And if I'm not mistaken, they only came with it in 2004 or early 2005. So yeah, like the, no def, none of the other nonsense you have to deal with all of the modern trucks. In fact, I like this truck so much I sold my 2018, because I don't know, it's a better truck. It gets 20 miles per gallon. You can tow anything with it, and up sky's the limit for upgrades.
A lot of people are doing that. I hear it all the time, and I get questions a lot from listeners where they're doing the same thing. They're getting rid of their newer trucks and they're looking back to that early 2000, sometimes even 12 valves or 94 to 97 OBS trucks. So it's definitely a larger trend that's going on, I think, for the exact reasons you mentioned, which is just simplicity, longevity,
Yeah. And so the simplicity is nice, but the third gen still has a nice interior, and it's got, a decent stereo. You can up Mine's upgraded. It's got subs and everything else in it. But it's like a comfortable riding truck. It's not like the second gen or the first gen, which rode like lumber trucks, and the dashes fell apart, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 12 valve, great motor, and a built 47 or 48 RE is a real is a really good transmission too. Stock not so much, but if you can find a manual dually diesel four-wheel drive, you know, 03, 04, 05, like that's where it's at.
They're in that sweet spot where they're old enough that they have that simplicity, but they're new enough that they have common rail injection. There's tons of aftermarket. There's tons of suspension upgrades. So you can still kind of have the best of both worlds with that gearing. Plus the styling. I don't know why that 03 to 05 styling to me. It's my favorite. I think the way the headlights sit, the grill, everything else on them, I like it a little bit more than like the 06, 07s when they change the headlights on the front end, but that's my grail truck. So I saw it and you had a bunch of big plans for it with upgrades. What do you got planned?
So I'm doing every possible thing I can to it. Banks came on board and they threw the entire catalog at it with me. You know, we've got the Banks Technicooler. We've got the Banks Ram Air, what do they call it? The Monster Ram intake horn. We got the tuner on it, which I think it's like a 90 horsepower tune. You can plus 90 horse. And then it's their, I forget the exact name of it. They're gonna get mad at me for this, but it's the one that helps to tune for economy too. Because what I do is, you know, I'm towing back and forth to Colorado, to Utah, and it's big, long drives. And like the more fuel efficient, the better. And that's another big reason why these trucks are better than the new ones. My 2018 towing my stacker trailer got like 5 miles per gallon. And, you know, towing my standard trailer would get 9 or 10. And I'll get, you know, 50% more, 50% better mileage in the red truck in the 04. But yeah, so Banks, the Econo tuner on it, the Banks brake. So it's got the Banks exhaust brake. What else is in there? I got their, iDash data monster inside to basically keep an eye on all the functions of the truck. Fleece sent their in tank fuel pump. So instead of like, you know, like the Air Dog or the Fast, where it's an external one and it's sitting outside, like on your frame rail. They're really good units, but I don't like how the filters hang down and they're kind of, you know, sometimes it can be kind of noisy. The Fleece one is an OEM style and it goes right in the tank. It uses dual pumps in it. And I think it'll support up to like 800 horsepower, 600 or 800 horsepower. I can't remember. Right. And then also we put the Fleece Cheetah turbo on it too. So that's like the engine stuff that's done. And then, you know, dynamite diesel injectors. What else have we done to it? And the Banks Ram Air intake as well.
Now are you doing all the upgrades at once? Or are you going to do some of them kind of in stages or how's that?
Everything at once. Yeah. I mean, it's at the front end shop right now. I told them to do brand new everything on it. As soon as it gets back here, we're going to do the, so Airlift, sent their, air management system and it's wireless. So it's pretty trick. And there's 7,500 pound, bags for the rear. We're going to install that. You know, I did all the maintenance on it. We put all fresh AMSOIL and in the transmission and the rear end engine. It's got brand new, Toyo tires makes these killer. They're called the, what are they called? The RT trail. So it's like in between the mud terrain and the all terrain. It's a pretty aggressive looking all terrain tire. We just put those on the thing. Fab Fours is sending a bumper for it. I got a worn 12,000 pound winch that we're going to put in the front. So those are the couple of things we haven't done yet. We're putting some Baja Designs LP9s on the front bumper too. So, I mean, it's going to have everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just going through that list. There's so many. So you're pretty much addressing every upgrade you'd want to do to something like that and tow with and you know, put some mileage on. I'll really be curious to see, you know, we can chat again in the future after you've towed with it a bit, done some road trips. Cause a lot of people ask about, doing a bunch of those different combination of parts, or doing the fleece cheetah with, the 90 horse dynamite injectors, or the Banks intercooler. And it's so cool to get real world feedback on that, especially on those trucks. As like I said, a lot of people are looking back towards those old ones. So while you or I may know a lot about them, remember when they were new and all the things you could do, it's almost like a whole new world for some of these guys
Right?
that are just jumping into it.
Yeah, it's funny, when I look at that truck, it doesn't look that old to me, but in hindsight, the thing's 20 years old. It's I don't know, makes you feel like an old man when you look at your truck and you're like, oh, that's not that old, but it's 20 years old. Like, today I drove my I have an 84 Toyota 4Runner. It's all done up, and dual transfer cases, built motor, all that stuff. And I looked and I'm driving it with my daughter today, and she called it a vintage truck, and I was like, what do you mean? And then I thought to myself, holy, this thing's 40 years old. So yeah, I don't know, I'm getting old.
I thought that when I saw your truck, because I vividly remember being in a Dodge dealership in 2005, and there was a red one, that same red. It was 2500 quad cab short bed. I loved it. And then I see yours, and I'm like, wait, that's like a 19-year age difference, but it doesn't feel old to me. It still feels like
Yep.
kind of a newer truck. And I guess time's just kind of flown by with them.
It really does. So, but again, that's what we talked about earlier. That's what's cool about these trucks. They've got the common rail, they've got a more modern interior, they've got more modern seats. The dashboard doesn't turn to dust. Like, it's the sweet spot. Like, I really liked driving my 2018, and in fact, the new trucks, nothing drives better than them. But they have so much stuff on them that you then you start they're not as reliable. It's like you get a diesel because you want like absolute reliability. You want it to tow a house and you want it to get it to good mileage. Well, they don't get good mileage anymore. None of the trucks do. All the DEF, all these other systems that they put on these things to, to be cleaner, just make them not run as good. Like, they don't and then all that stuff also has problems. Like, I don't know what company hasn't had problems with their smog equipment on diesels. Like, famously the 6.0 Fords would clog up the EGR coolers and cook the motors, and just everybody seems to have some kind of issue with all the extra stuff that's been sticking they've been sticking on these diesel trucks.
That's a point that I really struggle with when I think about the future of not diesel racing or performance, but more of the everyday driver, especially because I think of the half tons and the technology like Ram and GM and Ford are putting into them, where they're really getting the horsepower and the torque numbers up with their hybrid engines and turbo V6s and different things, where they come with pretty good torque numbers stock. And I just wonder, if you're looking at, to buy a diesel truck at 3/4 or 1 ton, when do we hit that point where it's just, we bought them for reliability. We bought them to be able to put 460,000 miles on them and be able to change the injectors ourselves and the injection pump and maybe drop transmission and do the clutch and do those sorts of things. Where do you see the future of it? And you could talk about the racing or the performance side, or maybe just as far as daily driving it. Where do you see the diesel enthusiasts fitting into what we're able to buy, either new on lots now, or do we just all need to go buy those older trucks?
I mean, just I tell her, I just go buy an older truck. I mean, just like with, diesel or any kind of car, they're getting less and less serviceable by the end user. I will say this for the newer Dodge trucks, it's essentially the same thing underneath. It's still a 6.7 Cummins, which is essentially just a bigger version of the 5.9. They've tried thing like sticking different, like they when they went from the CP3 to the CP4 pump, they had problems with those. And then they ultimately go back to the CP3 again. But yeah, it's serviceability. Like, nobody wants to work on a modern truck. Like, it sucks. There's just too much stuff going on. You pull that 2004 I have up and you pop the hood, and all you see is a straight six, a turbocharger, an intake horn, and anything else, like an exhaust brake or anything else. There's no plastic engine cover covering everything. Like, it's serviceable.
One part about the new ones that I will say make it really tough is the quality of the interiors and the touchscreen and all the technology. It makes it really comforting to drive,
Yeah.
easy to drive, but it's kind of a trade-off with it a little bit. And I guess it comes down to, what do we value or what are we looking for?
It
Whereas,
is.
me, I want the simplicity. I want to be able to do stuff with it. I don't necessarily care about the leather seats or the touch screen or the sensors everywhere, but there are people who do. So, I mean, I guess it's a good thing we have choices. There's a lot of trucks
Yeah, I mean,
older.
to each their own, but just like you, like I always say, I like shit boxes. Like I like kind of older cars without all the accoutrement, like I don't need touch screen. Because I just don't care. I don't need, I'm good with one cup holder. I don't need four cup holders in the door and then two in the center console and three pulling out of the dash. Like I don't need that stuff. I want it to drive, be reliable, and I like vehicles that have a soul. A lot of the new stuff is soulless. I've totally off subject, but like I also have a shop called Resolute Motorsports that does Porsche stuff. And all the new Porsches feel like Apple products to me. Like it's just there, and it has everything you'd ever want, and it doesn't have any soul. And then like the older ones are like fun, and yeah, they leak oil, and they might have bits and problems here and there because they're 40 years old, but they're way more fun to drive. They have a soul, and you can actually work on them yourself.
I love the conversation around vehicles, which is probably why I do a podcast. But like, if I walk into a parking lot and I see a 2024 Ram 3500 dually, it's going to
Yeah.
look perfect.
Right.
It's going to have everything. But I see your
But you also
04.
don't, even give it a second look,
No, because I can
right?
see another one or go buy one or see it
Yeah.
at a lot. But I see your 04 sitting there. I would want to ask about it. I'd be like, how do you keep that thing so clean? What's done to it? And it just strikes up that conversation where I get to hear
Right.
the story behind it. And that's just what a lot of people love. So I can definitely identify with that side of it. Now, earlier you did mention about doing Pikes Peak this year. I wanted to ask you about kind of your race schedule, the things, events, places you're going to be at this year so we can stay tuned, see what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'll be racing the Toyota Land Speed truck at Bonneville in August. And then before that, in June, I'll be racing the Le Mans prototype that I have. It's based on the Cadillac LMP1 that ran in the early 2000s that raced Le Mans. So I'll be racing that in June. So, like June, mid-June to the end of June, I'll be racing that. Pikes Peak is a really long event with all the practice and qualifying and then they call it race week. But yeah, I mean, if you want to go over that car, we can go over that car too.
Yeah. I've wanted to ask you about it because I've seen it. I don't think we ever really gone into detail about it.
Yeah, so again, it's a early 2000s Le Mans prototype. Initially it was the Cadillac LMP1, and this is heavily based on that car. We've taken it, put a roll cage in it, made it safer to go run up a mountain. But we repowered it from the Cadillac V8 that it had in it to an EcoDiesel that is now twin charged. It's supercharged and turbocharged. So, not sure how I feel about the EcoDiesel. We have been having trouble keeping them from exploding. So, if we've got one last iteration we're going to try on it, one last formula kind of recipe. If that doesn't hold together this year, then we're going to swap over. We're just going to take the reason I didn't put a Cummins four cylinder in it before was weight. I wanted to save weight, but I think I've sacrificed reliability for weight, and I'd rather have the weight. So if this doesn't hold together next year, we're going to put a 4.5 ISB in it. And then Freedom Racing Engines and Fleece will be putting that together.
People ask about eco diesels all the time, and it's one of the hardest things for me to answer because I haven't really seen a lot of vehicles where it's being pushed to an extreme level. And then our
I
listener
think
know
this
if,
is the only one. We've
yeah.
almost 700 horse on the dyno with these things. And they seem to be reliable on the dyno until we get the last one on. And we have the best in the business in the diesel world building our engines. Freedom Racing Engines does all our stuff. The things that the last one was so blown up inside, like bad mains and head gasket and everything was smoked on it. The thing still ran like a Swiss watch and it was shocking. So, I mean, they're tough in the fact that they kind of just keep chugging along, even though they're broken, but we need a more stout platform. Like the Eco Diesel itself, like the architecture and everything about it, I don't think really lends to being, leaned on at 600, 700 horsepower for long lengths of time. And I know the 4.5 ISB will, because it's just a stumpy 6.7 Cummins.
That's a really good point, because a lot of times with listeners will ask us and they'll say, "Hey, can you talk to somebody who's put this engine in a race vehicle or done this or that?" And it can be really tough because like you're looking at the architecture, you're looking at the engineering of it, the engine builder is, and they're saying, "We can put everything we could possibly make into it. It's still going to crack the block or still going to do this, or if the crank's not going to live." So you have to pick these platforms that give you that reliability, dependability that you need to go race and to finish and, hopefully to win, where, maybe these other options, they're just not going to work in that application.
No slight to the Power Stroke or the Duramax, but if you want to make big power, like, there's one choice. If you want to make big reliable power, there's really only one choice, and that's the inline Cummins engines.
That's well,
Unless
that's whatever.
a
That's what.
lot of guys are going to get mad, but I don't see a whole lot of 2,500 horsepower Duramax and Power Strokes out there.
Well, I was just going to say, well, that's what you're known for, is taking these Cummins engines and racing them in a way that we never really saw before and winning. It wasn't just going out there and, kind of having a lap and saying, well, it held up. Like, you push them to the limit. So a lot of people look to you and think, okay, if it can hold up in his, in his race vehicle, it's going to do everything I need at 600 horsepower or 700 horsepower. And so that's what's really cool about chatting with you, is hearing what you're doing, hearing the abuse that you put the engine under, and then the success you have with it. It makes me say, I am going to do this 04, this 0359, and I know Scott's pushed this engine so far that when I call Freedom Racing Engines, they're just going to be like, "Oh, we can handle this power. It's not an issue."
No, they can, sky's the limit with those guys. Like, they can do whatever you need. Funny story. So, talking about setting a record with one of those engines in 2020, I had blown up my old engine that was in Smokey, and we were out of spares, and I was ready to go home. And I was talking to Lenny from Dynamite Diesel. And he's like, I'm gonna put my new engine that I just got from Freedom. It was like their street build motor, like nothing they would build me for Pikes Peak. It was just their street spec engine. Lenny put his guy in the truck, drove overnight, gave me the motor. We put it in the truck, and then we set the Pikes Peak diesel record on it the next day. But that's not after having a major catastrophe during practice. Actually, not the next day. 2 days later, we set the record. The next day, we actually hot seized the thing on the mountain, because we had a massive cooling failure, and mostly because, one of the other competitors reached in and was playing with some switches on the truck. Total whole nother story there. We won't talk about that guy. He didn't get invited back to Pikes Peak, though. That engine was so tough, we hot seized it when it overheated. Like, it stopped running. I threw my hands up. We went back to the shop. I'd completely given up on the whole effort. I was like, screw this. Like, this is the worst. I just blew up Lenny's brand new motor, and I just blew up my motor. I'm over this. And I, out of total morbid curiosity, I went out and I looked at the thing, and I fired it up, and it ran like a sewing machine. Like, it wasn't smoking, wasn't doing anything. And then, of course, the next day we went out and set the record with the thing. And then that engine lasted for 2 years after that in Old Smoky, like, doing, 2,000 degree EGT burnouts in the Hoonigan yard, like endless just smoke shows. It would not die. And it finally died at the burn yard, like, 2 years later. But that it's and this was their street spec engine.
Yeah.
The 6.4 that's in Smokey now, basically rolled down a mountain, and it's still, you know, Smokey is in a million pieces, but the motor will still start right up.
That's so incredible to think of that engine, not even designed for the kind of conditions you're going to have it under. No. Could last for 2 years with how you use it.
And I'm screaming the thing to like 6,000 RPM and just crazy EGTs. And I don't know if I'm pretty hard on these motors.
I think it's a huge testament to how far the aftermarket has come with their technology, the way they can machine parts and engines and just engineer the whole thing, that we can see this where 10 or 15 years ago, probably not. And it's really kind of exciting for the future, you know, as well. And I know you're on the leading edge of pushing, you know, these vehicles, these engines, and a lot of people look to you and they find inspiration, whether, you know, it's your racing or what you're doing with a particular engine. And so it's really cool to be able to catch up with you, chat with you. I always enjoy our talks. And yeah, like I said, I saw that.
A lot of that reliability though, like, you know, I was trying to touch on this and I forgot because I got so many things to talk about, but a lot of that reliability also, you guys want to run like cheap fluids and stuff like that too. It's like safety, you know, like, oh, I can buy this for this helmet for $300. Like, why would I buy this $8,000 helmet? You know, same things with oils and fluids. Like, you can go buy off the shelf diesel oils, you know, whatever, like that's fine for your daily driver, but in racing and in heavy abuse and stuff like that, like, you know, we run pretty top shelf stuff. You know, we run the, you know, everything's AMSOIL. So
I think it's important to think about that side of it too, because what you're running in your daily driver is the same product brand that you're running in your race vehicles, where you're planning your whole year around this.
Yep.
And a lot of time and money is going into it.
The race vehicles have to be reliable too, because if my race, or not, sorry, the tow vehicles have to be reliable too, because I can't get to the race without a reliable tow vehicle.
Exactly.
So we run AMSOIL on everything, but we run the competition stuff in the race cars. And then I run like the standard heavy duty diesel oil in the regular trucks.
I love those service packages they have where it's like in a bag and it has the spout on it.
Oh, those are so cool.
Yeah.
Those are awesome for like the race fairs, because you can fit so many of them like in a little spot, or like, you know, where you can't fit a quart bottle, you can like squish up one of those little, you know, I forget what they call them. It's like at the pouch, especially for gear oil, because gear oil, you can kind of bend it up and get it up where you need to, and you don't need the pump, and you just kind of squeeze the thing and get it in. They're pretty slick.
Yeah, those are so cool. I was like, man, I can't believe, you know, it wasn't thought about sooner, but it makes it just so convenient. Yeah, like I said, it was cool to catch up with you, Scott. I love watching what you're doing. I did want, for any of our listeners that don't know who you are, which I'm sure most of them do, but every now and then we get somebody new, somebody that's just new to diesel. How can they find you on social media? Check out what you're doing, where you're racing, things you're working on.
Yeah. So if you want to find me on social media, I make it easy. They're all at Chuckles Garage. So like YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, X, Twitter, it's all at Chuckles Garage.
Make it really easy.
Yeah. You know, keep it simple, stupid, right?
Well, cool. Well, I look forward to seeing what you're doing the rest of this year. I'm definitely going to be watching that 04 build, because like I said, that's my grail. That dually red, you got all the good stuff on it. So I definitely look forward to seeing how that comes out and then the racing the rest of the year. So I appreciate your time today.
Thanks, man. It was nice being on again.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC. Right there, you'll find the Target Sports membership program, which is really cool. So for $99 a year, you get free shipping, whether you're ordering one, two boxes, or 20 or 50 boxes. And you're also automatically entered into two giveaways that they're doing. One is an all expense paid hunting trip to Colorado, which is really cool. It includes airfare, accommodations, licensing, everything, even the meat processing and the shipping back to you. So it's a once in a lifetime trip that you're automatically entered into the opportunity to win. They also are giving away an F-150 every year, which is really cool. So if you want to keep some miles off your diesel truck, you know, use something, go point A, point B, go into the outdoors, you're automatically entered into win that as well. Also, Kershaw Knives, they've got a 40% off MSRP code for you. Just use code 2024DIESEL40 at kershaw.kaiusa.com. It's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear if you need a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC, something around the job site, around the house. They've got a ton of choices to meet any budget, different opening mechanisms, blade steel handle designs. So definitely make sure you head on over to their website. Use code 2024DIESEL40 to save 40% off MSRP. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters. Tyler Lona 23 Diesel, Cutter Up Rob, also J. Cole and Colby. We appreciate their support. And also all of you who subscribe on YouTube, podcast apps, follow us on social media. We appreciate all your support here in year 8 of the Diesel Podcast and look forward to bringing you guys more of the content that you want to hear in 2024. Till next time, keep the shiny side up.